Hey everybody, I'm Ted, he's Drew. We're back, Vikings Report with Drew and Ted and Chris, who sadly isn't here. He has a real job. He can't make it tonight. I've been sick all week. We're going to just kind of do a super turbo show. But we want to let you know, Drew, that we are going to do a live show because the legal tampering period begins Monday with free agency beginning Wednesday. And we're going to do a live show sometime Tuesday-ish, Wednesday-ish, when we find out the status of Kirk Cousins and maybe any other big-time Vikings free agent signings, how that goes. And we'll recap the first couple days of it all. Sadly, I don't think Chris will be able to join us then. But tonight, we're not doing like the can. We're not doing anything. We're going straight into tackles, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ted. Feeling better? Are you ready to do this now?
I am, yeah. You know, I think I'm allergic to the state of New Jersey. That's what happened.
I had to go to
New Jersey for work. And I came home with like a double ear infection and like a double pink eye. And I hate New Jersey and I never, ever want to go back.
You guys live in New Jersey, not New York?
Theodore?
Yep.
New Jersey?
Eddie. Yeah, but don't worry. It's pretty much New York.
Oh, no. Why don't you girls crawl into the open sewer pipe you call the Holland Tunnel and flush yourselves back to pretty much New York?
Many people are allergic to New Jersey.
Yeah. Tony Soprano wasn't allergic to New Jersey.
No. It was Bon Jovi.
It's my life!
Tackles tonight?
Yeah, we're just going to roll into tackles. We'll cover the news next week, and then next weekend we'll do the interior O-line as we continue our off-season positional analysis.
Nice!
All right, so Grayson, go ahead, buddy. Take it away.
Hey everyone, it's Ted's grandson Grayson, and now it's time for the Vikings Report off-season positional analysis segment. Hit it, Papa.
Like I said, I don't know if God is going to reward me or condemn me for making him a Vikings fan, but we'll find out.
He does a great job on that every week.
Yeah, he does. All right. So, buddy, we're moving straight to the tackle position. You know, as we have gone on the offensive side of the ball, we started off with inarguably, the most important position that has to be decided for the Vikings in terms of need, gone from quarterback, then to running back, which is a big need, then wide receiver, kind of a need, tight end, depending on what you think of the health of T.J. Hockenson and his recovery, maybe sort of a need. If there's a side of the offense that really doesn't have a need, I would argue it's the tackle position.
I even like the depth guys that the Vikings have.
Yeah, I do too.
It's a great class for tackles, like twice as good from last year, I think, for the draft. But overall, out of the top 16 offensive tackles in the NFL, according to PFF, the Vikings have two of the top 16.
Yeah. I mean, in Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw, you have the two guys that are arguably the most important positions on the offensive line locked down. Christian Darrisaw is getting a contract extension. Brian O'Neill, they just signed to extension. He was hurt at the end of last year. He was playing with, a broken bone in his foot the last three or four games, which kind of accounted for his less than stellar play as the end of the season drew on. But look, those guys are going to be back. I like Blake Brandel as the swing guy. Man, I just don't really see a need for the Vikings to address in free agency. And when you look at the free agent list out there, buddy, I don't know.
The only other two players in the top 16 for offensive tackle with those PFF numbers is the Eagles. So it's only the Eagles and the Vikings who have two players in the top 16, with they got Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata. So, you know, the Eagles have a pretty good line, but the Vikings are set at starting tackle. But one thing Kwesi did say at one of the combine press conferences he had, he said, "We noticed that we failed with our depth last year. We ran out of gas in every area of the team, and we're concentrating on having more depth this year." So they're aware of it. Tackle is the one area. I like their tackle. I like their backup tackles.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I look through the free agency, Ted. I'd rather just keep. I know Questenberry's 33 years old, but when you bring him in, he's solid. He's a veteran. He's not going to get in there and get a bunch of holding penalties. He seems to do a good job. I like Brandel. And who else we got on there?
Potential free agents are David Questenberry. And if they want to bring him back as a backup guy, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
They've got Oli Udo listed as a tackle on SpotRack's website, but he played more of a guard for the Vikings last year. But yeah, you look at the rest of the tackles, man, they're about as appealing as a politician's promise in an election year, brother.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Bernie Madoff,
Ken Lay, Dennis Kozlowski, criminals, and the evil genius who towered over them?
It's me, Big Bird.
Big, yellow, a menace to our economy. Mitt Romney knows it's not Wall Street you have to worry about. It's Sesame Street.
I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS.
Mitt Romney, taking on our enemies no matter where they nest.
I mean, they really are. They really are. They're terrible. I take no stock in them.
Is there any free agent name you like?
No, there's none.
Bunch of guys that are over 30 years old. I don't like any of them. Lucas, D. Brown.
And that just doesn't seem like a type of free agent that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah would go after at this point. I mean, when he's gotten guys, they've been 26, 27, kind of on the, I don't want to say Dollar Tree side of free agency, but right. He was kind of constrained with the salary cap his first couple of years. That may be different now in terms of going after big-time free agents. But if he does go after a big-time free agent, I don't see it being at the tackle position, do you?
No. Andres Pete, Trent Brown, Jonah Williams. You're not going to go get Jonah Williams. He's a starter.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do need to keep that depth up on the tackle position because nobody talks about tackle till Darrisaw goes down or O'Neal goes out. Then everybody's going, oh, my God, look, he's playing. Oh, geez.
But I will say Blake Brandel played well. I mean, for a guy that is a backup, although Adofo-Mensah is right in terms of their depth was not where it needed to be in certain spots, I would argue Brandel did okay as a backup for the however many snaps he had last year when he had to play.
I agree.
All right, so we are out on free agents.
We are out on free agents. Both of us agree on that.
So let's pull up the Drew Bunting big board.
You're feeling better, Ted Glover.
I am too, man. I didn't think I was gonna die, but I could have been mistaken.
Well, that's good.
I could have been mistaken for Doc Holliday in Tombstone a couple times, man. I had some serious coffee.
What about Doc Holliday was spinning that cup? What are we doing for an intro for tackles? It's a loaded class, Ted.
Yeah, I mean, you've got five dudes you got going in the first round, starting with Joe Alt, not to be confused with Joe DeLamalure, the former Bills legend.
Let me tell you, he's Alt that he's cracked up to be.
Oh, you're not joking, are you?
How I do my offensive linemen, we'll get this set for this week and then the centers and guards next week. I give them a pass grade. I give them a run blocking grade, and then kind of overall from that, you know, injuries. Do they play different positions on the O-line? That's kind of how I look at it. Joe Alt was the only player I had on my top 15 that got an A-plus in pass protection and an A-plus in run blocking.
And in a lot of mocks, I've seen him being a top 10 guy. I think quarterbacks are probably going to get an early rush. Probably a couple guys, maybe J.J. McCarthy might go higher than he probably should in terms of talent. But it feels like Alt is very much a top five talent guy.
Oh, he is. He is. He's a pure left tackle. The last two seasons at Notre Dame, 774 pass blocking snaps, not total snap, just pass blocking, 774, one sack at left tackle.
Wow.
Yeah. His dad played for the Chiefs back in the early 90s. So Alt's been learning how to play O-line since he's like 4 or 5 years old, probably. That's another reason I have him as my number one. I mean, he's not only getting coaching, he's getting coaching at home. Because his dad was no slouch. He was a good player. He played in the League of Wilds. 1984 to 96. So he played 12 years, John.
Man, that's a long time in the league.
He's definitely my number one. We're not getting him. But there's not much of a drop-off with him and Ole Fashanu. Number two, they're about the same. Fashanu, I gave him A-plus pass protection, which I gave Alt to, and I gave him a C in run blocking. So Alt got the one over him, one and two, but not by much. Fashanu's a great left tackle. These first two guys are pure left tackles. That's all they're going to play. Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, not an easy thing to do.
Good player. He's a really good player. I remember watching him a few times, and you're like, wow, that guy's going to he's gonna play on Sunday.
High motor, very athletic guy.
Oh, you use the high motor. That's a five-yard penalty right there.
He has big energy. He has sand in his pants.
Can he play in a phone booth?
He does play in a phone booth. How about this? Three seasons at Penn State, 733 pass blocking snaps, zero sacks.
Really?
Him and Ault had 1,450 something pass blocking snaps with one sack between them.
I remember a guy, the Vikings draft, and I think it was back in '02, Bryant McKinney, never gave up a sack as a Miami Hurricane. Held out for like 9 or 10 games when he gave up a sack in like his first 3 or 4 snaps, I think it was. Welcome to the league, rookie.
Which might be happening to them too, but yeah. These are the top two, and they're both left tackles, pure left tackles. You're not going to put them anywhere else, but they're probably two guys that can start for you right away, and they're kind of can't-miss guys. If they don't get injured, these guys are going to start left tackle, and they're not going to be there 10 years because I don't say that anymore.
Oh, now, see, I was going to say, doggone it, you took my line. So are these two guys you can draft and put on the offensive line for 10 years, Drew?
No, you can put them on there for 4, and then they leave. Alabama's got a good one if you want to talk pure right tackle with J.C. Latham.
Okay.
6'6", 335, a pass protector, B-grade run blocker. A lot of experience over there. 1,016 snaps, only 2 sacks allowed. He's going to go in the first round. I just don't know if somebody's going to need a right tackle over a left tackle. I got Latham slotted for the first round. 38 games at Bama. You play at Bama's offensive line, you're pro-ready. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fuega. Not much to say about Fuega, first-round guy. What do you want to know about him?
Nothing.
Okay. He's a good pass protector, better than a run blocker. A lot of these guys are better pass protectors than run blockers. Ault is the only guy that had A-plus in both.
So if the Vikings were to get an offensive tackle in the draft, I would argue first round, the conventional wisdom is first round, they're going to go quarterback. Second round, they're either going to go interior offensive line or interior defensive line. They don't have a third round pick as of this moment, but they've got a bunch of picks in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round.
Yeah, I don't even see him using a tackle spot in the 4th round, maybe the 5th round.
Who do you have on this list right now that is on your Vikings watch? Do you have anybody?
Graham Barton from Duke.
The second round guy, really?
Yeah, I think he might drop a little bit because I think he's going to play guard because of his size. 6'4", 315. But I got the Viking watch on this guy. If you did want, your tackles that turn into guards usually have a lot of success, Ted.
And you think he's going to be a guy that gets drafted as a tackle and they're going to try and make him a guard?
No, I think he gets drafted right out the door as a guard.
Okay.
He played tackle at Duke, so I had to put him at left tackle. I kind of put these guys in the position they had in college. I have like 2 or 3 guys on the tackle spot that are probably going to be guards. But this guy, the reason he plays tackle gives you the option to kick him out there a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
This could be the dude we end up having to play all across the line of scrimmage, Ted. He's that versatile.
So like a super sub kind of guy.
Super sub. That would be a good name for him. Big time finisher. When you watch his tape, he grinds people into the ground. He's gritty. He's tough. He's mean. He overpowers people, Ted. And that's why I think he's going to be better at the guard position. But if he's a C-plus pass protector at tackle, imagine moving him to guard. He just looks like a guard. He looks like a guy that's going to drive people off the ball. And I would like to have that option. I think whoever the Vikings draft, Ted, should probably be a swing guy. What about Kingsley? I want to talk about him for a second. I got the Viking watch on him. The BYU guy.
Okay. Kingsley Suamataya?
Suamataya.
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 Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata, Kuno Tata, Kingsley Atata, Suamataya.
You really are crazy.
6'6", 325, had 644 snaps at left tackle, and he had 687 snaps at right tackle.
Really?
He played left tackle as a junior, over 600 snaps, went over to right tackle, and played last year as a right tackle. He's only played in 23 college football games, Ted, but this guy is impressive for only playing in 23 games.
Is he a guy you can see because of the way other positions are probably going to get overvalued, like quarterback, possibly wide receiver, potentially defensive line? Is this a guy you could see slipping? You've got, a third-round grade on him. Can you see him slipping into the mid-fourth round?
I do, and if we have more than one pick in the 4th round, I would be tempted to take this guy.
Would you?
Yeah, because, we're going to talk about guards and centers next week, but this would be the ideal swing tackle. He's only played 23 games, but he shows great balance on the line, and I think if he gets coached up right, he's going to be a steal. Really good athlete, Ted.
Okay.
You get a guy that can play both right and left tackle. You got a guy you can bring in on a short notice, maybe not even next year, but he is the draft to develop guy in my top 15 that I would go after.
Okay. Would you need to develop him 1 year, 2 years?
1 year.
1 year.
And the most of the development with Kingsley is going to be on the run side. He's already a really good pass protector. I gave him a B-plus grade.
Really?
But as a run blocker, he's got to learn, you know, how to do it better. Like I said, he's only played 23 games, but big physical guy, Ted, and BYU, so he has a lot of chicks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like he's, you know, he's probably done his mission stuff, so he's a very probably mature 32 or 33 years old by now.
Hello, it's us. Hello, can you hear me?
I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke, folks. I almost died earlier in the week. You gotta let me laugh about this. You gotta let me laugh. All right.
Another guy you might grab is, go ahead and pronounce that name. Kieran?
Amagaji.
That's it! Ted got it, Ruby. Now, this is interesting. This guy played left tackle, but you could also play him at right guard. Now, he had the competition at Yale. He played the Ivy League, but so did Matt Burke and a bunch of other guys that we know.
He went to Yale. Or no, Matt Burke, he went to Harvard.
Yes, he did. 428 pass block snaps in 2023, zero sacks. But he tore his quad last year. That's why he's so down on the list. He is another guy, developmental guy, that could turn out to be an outstanding, even inside, at guard.
You have a guy that's playing in essentially the FCS who had a significant injury last year, and you still have him 12th on your big board.
Yes.
Just making sure. Just making sure.
Just making sure. I got a guy that's not even on that list I want him to look at. We'll talk about him after my – this is my sleeper, Ted. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Take a flyer on the great Garrett Greenfield from South Dakota State. I ran across this tape, and I thought I had to check to make sure he wasn't going back to school as a junior. This guy's going to be a great swing tackle in this league. Good balance. I don't want to say anything about how he plays in a phone booth, but I imagine it's pretty good. Needs a lot of work for maybe a season or two. But he's probably going to be an undrafted free agent, so you don't need to spend a draft pick on him. I got him on here and another big guy, Akeem Donkwa, 6'8", 375, biggest player in my draft.
6'8", 375?
Yes, from Howard University. Those are my two sleepers, enticing prospects, Ted. Matter of fact, Garrett Greenfield, even though he's not on my draft list, I ranked him at A in pass blocking.
Really?
And which is good for usually an undrafted free agent to get an A on my grade. Usually are done by C by then. If you can get him without spending a draft pick, get him.
You've got Blake Fisher, Dominic Puny, and Javon Foster. Do you like any of those guys over Amagaji?
No, not really. I think Puny is an interesting guy because he plays left tackle or left guard. He had 800 snaps in 2022 at left guard, and then he was zero sacks. And then in 2023, he flopped over to left tackle for Kansas. 728 snaps, zero sacks. This is what's important to look at. As a left guard, he had 800 plus snaps and he didn't give up a sack. And then he had 728 when he popped out to tackle and didn't give up a sack. You don't find guys that can play guard and tackle equally as good, usually. You don't. They usually stay at tackle or they flop inside like Dalton Reisner.
Yeah.
He was a tackle at Kansas State and now he plays guard.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a guy that gives up zero sacks with really a lot of play at either left guard or left tackle, that's a guy who at least raises your eyebrows and go, he could play either position. Whoever the Vikings get, Ted, they got to get a swing guy or a guy go inside and play. And, you know, that's more versatile than just playing pure left tackle or pure right tackle.
That was my question. It sounds like the way you're talking, if the Vikings get a guy, they're going to have to be a versatile lineman, not only both left and right tackle, but potentially every position on the line with maybe even including center.
Yeah. Well, next week, as you notice, my guards will just be guards because guards aren't flopping out to tackle. I mean, Right. It's probably been done, but it's super rare because guards are smaller. They're built differently. Tackle's got to have that lateral quick step to get out. You know, usually you're taller guys. If you're guard, you're going to be guard. You're not going to flop out to tackle. But tackles right. do become guards. Tackle's harder position to play than guard, I think.
I agree. Yeah, I think so, too.
Call Ed White. Tell him not to listen to this show.
Yeah, good call. He's the strongest man in the NFL for many years. He would squish you for saying that.
If you want a pure right tackle, you can grab. I would grab Blake Fisher late. I think he's going to drop even further than 3 or 4.
Okay.
He's the other side of the John Ault line at Notre Dame. Super durable player. Very mauler type. I like the mauling guys who punch people in the face. I like those guys. I'm shocked he even declared for the draft because if he comes back next year, Blake Fisher's the number one tackle in the NFL.
You really think so?
I think he will be. If he stayed in school, he's not now. He's coming out.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
And I think it's a mistake that he's coming out. I think he should stay one more year and really season himself into that top 10. I got him as a C-grade pass rusher and a B-grade run blocker. And I think Blake Fisher could be A-plus in both if he stayed another year. I'm kind of surprised he's coming out, but good for him.
Okay. Do you think the Vikings could go for a right tackle for insurance on Brian O'Neill?
Yes.
Third, fourth round. Well, not third round. Fourth, fifth round.
The right tackles in this draft are J.C. Latham, Talese Fuaga, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, and Blake Fisher. Those are the guys that play on the right side. Dominic Puni, like I said, plays left guard or left tackle.
Okay.
I like that guy because he plays so good at both those positions. I think if they're going to isolate themselves either left tackle or right tackle, it would be right tackle because of O'Neal.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I don't think they will. I mean, people have talked about O'Neal's contract and restructuring it, but I don't see them moving on from O'Neal, especially Darisaw either. Probably the most solidified position on the Vikings offensive line is offensive tackle right now.
Should be shout out to Patrick Paul from Houston.
Okay.
His cousin is Penei Sewell.
Really?
Played in 44 games, Ted, and only allowed 5 sacks his whole career at Houston. 1,642 pass blocking snaps and only allowed 5 sacks.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, got him as an A-grade pass protector, but only a D-plus run blocker. Developmental guy, but anybody that's related to Penei Sewell, get him in here.
Yeah, at least give him a look-see. All right, folks, that is our abbreviated show for the offensive tackle position. Like I said, Drew and I will be back on either Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll let you know on social media, on Facebook, on our Vikings Report page, VikingsReport.com. Check us out on PurplePainForums.com as well. Our home on the internet for our shows. Find us on Twitter or X or whatever the hell they're calling it these days. We will let you know, but we will be back with the live show later this week in the middle of the week, and we'll do interior offensive line quick turbo show next weekend as well. And rest in peace, Corey Stringer, Ohio State legend, Minnesota Vikings legend. Miss you, big guy. You were a real one.
I miss him too.
All right, you didn't have to do that. You really didn't have to do. You didn't have to put that shirt up.
Did you know we won the national championship?
No, I didn't. My season ended in November. Anyways, we'll try to do better the next time, buddy. Take us home.
Thanks for listening to me wander on about the tackles tonight. Good class of tackles. I think we should grab one. You do need depth, so I think that'll be it, Ted. Say good night, Ted.
Good night, Ted. Caligula.
What the hell was that movie about?